You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it, Weekend Editions here at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, maybe Mark Kranak. And Elijah Herbal. Welcome to it. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Give us a shout on the hotline. Can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. And we'll hear from Mark Kranak here shortly. Find us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio for Chris Schmidt, at Mark Skurz for Mark Kranak, and at Herbal Essence for Elijah Herbal. So, Kranak is speaking in tongues with his computer right now. So, he'll get locked in. Busy day yesterday for Nebraska. Friday Night Lights Part 2. College World Series, man. It's going to feel like summer today up in Omaha as things get rocking. Stanford and NC State get things going around 1 o'clock or so for that first pitch. You'll hear that here on ESPN Lincoln. Different elements of the CWS coverage. We are on the road Monday and Thursday at Zipline, just right across from TD Ameritrade Park. So we'll be on site for three different appearances in front of CWS action Monday, Thursday, and then game one of the championship series. So a lot's gone down this week with Nebraska football. And I think overall, as we look at the McCaffrey saga that happened this week with Coach Frost and the Big Red Blitz, I think if I were to go off of and Twitter's a unique animal, obviously, but he had quite a bit of support come out towards Scott Frost. Coach Frost is pretty on point, pretty nails with his commentary regarding the transfer portal and just, quite honestly, the unknown. You're getting into some deep waters with the transfer portal if you're a student athlete and you opt to go somewhere else. You're one of several thousand that may not have a home when you leave a place that put time, effort, sweat, blood, all that good stuff into bringing you into a program. And Coach Frost called it like he saw it. He's a pretty straight shooter with that. And you had some family members in the McCaffrey crew not like that. Rewind coming up here in 20 minutes. Our chat with Husker standout and longtime Kansas City Chief Eric Warfield. That at 7:30. Brandon Vogel at 8:05. And then the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, will get going with this. Elijah, what's up, man? What do you know? How was yesterday, you and Willie J rocking?
Oh, it was a great time. Great time. No complaints. Had a good little sit-down with Derek Peterson about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
He's got to be pretty happy to get Kemba.
Well, it's good to get Kemba, but they also cleared two of the posts that were getting a lot of playing time ahead of Isaiah Roby. So this kind of cleared some space for Isaiah Roby to get a bigger role in the NBA next year. So I think that's pretty fun. Yeah, Friday's fun, and tomorrow, or I guess today now, headed up to Omaha to go catch that NC State game.
So you are going to be on site. You'll be on assignment for us, allegedly, for NC State and Stanford. Last night with Friday Night Lights, you had several hundred athletes work out at Memorial Stadium, the second FNL camp, and it was pretty cool. And one name to know, and this is a legacy and he's one of the best offensive linemen. I had a chance to cover Dominic Raiola, the initial winner of the Remington Award as the top center in the country. Well, Dylan Raiola, his son, the 2024 quarterback, was able to throw for a group of Nebraska coaches that included Scott Frost, Mario Verduzco, and Matt Lubick. And you've seen this continue to kind of trend upward for Raiola and his recruitment. He's 6'3", he's 215. He's a quarterback for the 2024 class, and he's out of the Burleson, Texas region. And there's a lot of schools already in on him, and because of the Nebraska tie, you've got the ability to have an in with a kid like Raiola. Georgia in on him, TCU in on him, Clemson has been paying attention to Dylan. Of course, Florida State and Washington State, the first offer from Georgia on June 10th. So the thing that kind of sticks out about Raiola is not only his arm and footwork, but also his accuracy. That was on display last night in some of the footage and video I was able to check out. And you know what? Nebraska was impressed enough to offer the talented quarterback for 2024 an offer. So you have Dylan Raiola getting that nod. And the pictures on Twitter from Dylan, pretty cool, where you got him with Coach Frost, the big old bear hug, as he's taking the picture with his two little brothers from Dad. You've got him in uniform, and of course, never hurts to have a Heisman winner with said Heisman in hand there to take a pic. So Dylan Raiola, a story. Also, I'm Arian Stewart. He's out of Rolling Brook, Illinois. 2024 wideout. He was able to get an offer Friday night. Missouri in on him, Penn State, Tennessee, Washington. How much weight should we put on Arizona State offers moving forward?
We were talking with Greg Smith about this yesterday, and Will doesn't seem to think that like the whole violations is a big thing. He's like, I'm kind of with him.
See, as far as just busting COVID protocol and hey, let's all meet in person when the rest of the world shut down. The NCAA is like, nope, dead period. You can visit virtually. You can do virtual tours, but absolutely not. I mean, on your own dime, but there's no contact allowed. This to me seems like it's time to make an example.
Yep.
And they are going to bring the kitchen sink. We bring in Mark Kranak with this Hail Varsity. Kranak, we're talking about round two of Friday Night Lights, a guy you and I got to cover in college, Dominic Raiola, his son Dylan having a nice night, and then we're also kind of wading into the Arizona State sanctions. We'll get into the McCaffrey situation. What's up? How are you? No?
Well, I guess I got a different call from Mark. Mark, is that Mark in now?
Kranak, we got
you. Hello.
There we are.
Is the radio show there?
Here's what just happened. We just ran a short side option on 3rd and 3, and I pitched it to you as the trail back, and we fumbled out of bounds. We fumbled out of bounds.
No, we
lost 5 yards.
We fumbled it, and everyone's thinking, oh, everything's gone haywire here. It's gone south. But then Mark picked it up and still somehow got the first down.
Did he? Okay. Yeah. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I saw the ball like bouncing around behind me, and then I just ran back, picked it up, made a couple jukes. Here we are.
Right. No, all good. How are you?
You know, I'm doing okay, man. I'm doing okay. I've been listening. I've been listening for a while, just like wondering if I was going to be able, you know, on the show I co-host, I was wondering if I was going to be able to actually do that. You know, but it was great. I'm excited about Raiola.
Yeah.
I think that would be good. I just, as long as the Dominic mentality got kind of embedded in Dylan here, then I'm good. I'm good with that kind of mentality at QB.
Think about that. If you got Dad's mentality playing quarterback,
it's really good.
That'd be wonderful.
Well, and I just like how things are just springing to life around the program right now. And the McCaffrey situation.
Yes.
You know what it strikes me as at this point? Just all the way around. Like, everybody involved. Just, it's petty. The whole thing. Right? I think Frost's comments, a little petty. The McCaffrey family reaction, definitely petty. Like, because he didn't call him out. He was speaking kind of generally about transfers and saying a lot of kids are getting bad advice. Like, if you were to just strip away everything else.
And he ain't wrong.
Yeah, right. You remember, like, in English class, what is the main idea? The main idea in this case was kids are getting bad advice. And that is true. There are a lot of kids that are leaving Nebraska that are going to, like, not very good schools and then not playing a lot, right? Like, that just happens. Look, this guy, McCaffrey's going from Louisville to Rice. Like, Rice? Really? That's good? Maybe it will be. Maybe the offense will be perfect for him and maybe it'll be fine. But, like, it's not untrue what Frost is saying. I don't think Frost has the best timing, though. I don't think he has the best. I don't think he takes on social cues that well. Like, because you don't have to say it. Just because it's true, it doesn't mean you have to say it. Like, you encounter people every day who are really ugly. You don't just say, well, you're ugly. Because even though it's true, you just maybe don't want to say it.
You're right? Telling me it's, you need to accentuate the positive. Oh, you have wonderful eyes, sweetie.
Sometimes you say it best when you say nothing at all. Mm-hmm. So I understand what he's saying, though. I mean, kids are getting bad advice. And when he cites the numbers, I think there's 1,100 kids in the transfer portal at any given time, which mm-hmm. equates to about 10 kids per program at any given time.
And how many spots? Like four, maybe, program that are open? And that's supply and demand. That's
what he was saying. Yeah. But the way the McCaffrey brothers reacted was...
You're picking on my brother. What are you doing? You transferred, and they didn't.
And he didn't call him out by name. He was just saying, look, we have a kid that left that is already on to a second school.
Well, like, he could have been talking about the linebacker from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's
right.
two instances.
Which is,
I doubt it.
I doubt it as well.
But there is plausible deniability there.
I doubt it as well. Here's what I don't get. And I understand. I'm trying to look at it from each dude's shoes, right? A, you're a stud in high school. You had this fairy tale of a recruiting process. You could have gone anywhere, and you're used to being the man, and maybe you were the man for 3 years and part-time man as a freshman in high school. And you came from this big D1 factory. All right, let's just set the parameters up. What your pedigree is going into college football. And then you get to said destination and you're de-recruited. And let's just say Travis Fisher's your position coach. And he's as real with you the day you get to campus as he was the day you got to campus on a recruiting visit. And his take is consistent. Rent's due every day, bro. Okay? And I'm going to over-recruit because I think competition's going to make you great. It's going to make the room great. It's going to make our team great. It's going to make our defense great, right? That's his philosophy. And I can understand the adjustment that goes on, I think, if I'm the man and then all of a sudden I'm just one of many. So that's a tough mindset for a lot of kids to go deal with because they're not used to it. And from a maturity level, on top of an advice standpoint, who's in their ear after 6 months, after a year, after 3 months, and let's throw COVID into this where there's no social life, there's no ability to be normal, and that would suck. And I'm just like, man, I can understand getting homesick. It's happened to all of us at some point, and we're not even football players. And then I look at it as the old guy. And as the old guy, I'm like, man, think about the work you've already put in whether you've enjoyed your experience or not, the time has been ticking. And I know there's a pause button on your eligibility, and you've got this free pass to go do or go wherever. But man, you're just hitting reset and going into an unknown, and you're going to have to start at the basement floor and potentially work your way up at a whole new program. Do you want to do that again on top of the fact that maybe, I don't know, somebody at Louisville will call your family and say, kid can play quarterback here. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Louisville's got a 2-year starter that's thrown 20 touchdown passes returning. There's a backup that saw some time and did all right. All right. Luke, welcome to Louisville. Nice to see you. Oh, how's playing slot grab you? Huh? And you hear brakes squeal, right? That, to me, is there's both sides of the coin. And I pray that kids, whether they're frustrated or think they're getting done dirty or whatever the case may be when it comes to depth chart, give yourself some time to be coached. Give yourself some time to develop. Because that's what's being lost with everyone hopping from one foot to the next. You as a player aren't getting the reps or the development, and it's not like that doesn't translate. I mean, you run drills at NC State, you can run the same drills in Lincoln. I get it. But from a system and a chemistry standpoint, I mean, all of those things. Yeah. That's the thing that's being lost, is it's okay to age a little bit. You and I love steak. All three of us love steak. Well, we like the steaks that have been dry aged for a while. It's okay. And that's the part to me that not everyone's Trevor Lawrence. Sorry. And that's okay. No. There's a reason there's greatness with sunshine there. I mean, between the championships and coming in a la Tommy Frazier halfway through your true freshman year. Give yourself time and listen to your coaches. They truly do have your best interest in mind, in my humble opinion, versus that coach or friend or crazy Uncle Larry or whoever that thinks, man, you're getting hosed. You're not starting right away. Well, I'm 19 and I just got to campus.
Yeah.
I mean, help these kids have some perspective on it. And I think that's what Coach Frost was trying to lay out there. And I think in a setting on Big Red Blitz, when he got a Q&A session, he answered it. And I don't think he was intending to pour any salt.
Totally. This isn't a press conference.
No,
right? This is connect
this,
with fans.
This tell is you, him out in Kearney just right. kicking it. And
tell people what he thinks, and that's kind of the whole point of that thing.
Sorry for the ramble there, but that's just my take, man. I know kids are being sweet-talked.
Here's the thing, though, Chris.
And I know kids are also impatient. We're all impatient at 18.
Well, what's up with – here's the thing, though. Frost has been – he's a punching bag, man. You know what I'm – like, ever since the pandemic, really, and how he was kind of fighting for playing football, and he took a bath for that, mm-hmm. right? Got a ton of criticism for that from all corners.
Then you have the Oklahoma thing rear its head not long ago.
The Oklahoma thing, and he gets clowned for that. And then you got this thing, clowned for that. And look, I think there's a few reasons for that. Well, one, he wades into territory like that with just no breaks, right? He just steps his way into topics like that, trying to just be honest, right? But I think, two, he's, you know, you remember the knight in shining armor vibe that he was more than happy to embrace when when he first came in. So you have that whole thing, and he's got a certain bravado about him, right? He doesn't have that, even though he values and wants humility out of his team. Mm-hmm. He carries a certain bravado about him, right? So in that way, I think he is like one of those people that people want to take down. You know what I mean? Like, young, good-looking, hotshot, kind of, you know, like Ted from One Crazy Summer almost. You know, I don't know if anybody's seen that movie. It's an old movie. But,
it's been a while.
You know, just, you could cast him almost as, like, the guy in a B-movie who's, like, the, you know, the quarterback with the sweater around his neck, right? He's almost out of central casting in that way. So I think people want to villainize him. I really do. I think people want to villainize the guy. And so whenever he wades into territory where you can be villainized, they're quick to do it. It happens fast. And what fixes this?
Wins.
Winning, yes.
No.
Yes. Do you think anybody care? If he's coming out of a 11-0 season or a 10-2 or whatever, and he's talking about the transfer market, do you think he's getting the kind of treatment he's getting now?
No. Not at all. He sounds a lot like the same things Nick Saban's saying, except Nick's holding the Crystal Trophy at the end of every season. Mm-hmm. Mark Kranak.
Right. Yeah, he's not. And that's a really good point, Chris. Like, he doesn't have I don't think his philosophy is all that different.
No.
Than what Nick Saban says.
They're both on the same page.
Right. But Nick Saban's running out of fingers for the rings.
Yeah, he's going to have to go to his feet.
I know. Toe ring.
Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt.
Let's think about Nick Saban's toes for a second.
No.
Yeah, let's not.
We will rewind here in a moment to Eric Warfield on the way. Great story from Coach from Warfield on Coach Osborne and motivation at Hale Varsity Weekend.
Early to rise with Hale Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Back into it, hour two at Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some ball. And, of course, a great fundraiser and event coming up here, too. Eric Warfield, Husker standout, Chief Patriot with us. Warfield, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, the heat wave is finally starting to come in, so I won't be swinging the club as much.
So I was going to say, how does Eric Warfield navigate incredible temperatures? I mean, you're down in Big D, but you're coming back up here, and we've got that triple-digit welcome for you.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was a little caught off guard. Like, man, this can't be Nebraska, not 104 this time of the year.
Man, that makes that off-season trade in a real commitment, right? Well, you can find Eric on Twitter at EAWarfield44. Now, Eric, before we dive into some ball, you've got the Lighthouse event coming up here next week. Give folks a heads up on the Lighthouse, your involvement, and what's going on.
Man, I've been involved with the Lighthouse for the longest, I think ever since I retired. So I had been doing a basketball event where we play the Lincoln Police Department as a fundraiser. And then I continued doing 100 kids for Christmas shopping for the Lighthouse. And all majority of those kids came from the Lighthouse. So this has been kind of a passion thing to where, I've been doing this ever since high school because my mom had taken in some foster kids. So I've kind of got a soft spot for trying to help those that are in unfortunate situations. And the Lighthouse is an after-school program right there in Lincoln, Nebraska, that has been thriving for years to help and inspire, motivate those young kids. A lot of inner city kids, but it's not all inner city kids. You get some kids from around the suburbs that come and take part in it also. So it's a very special program that's kind of dear to me that we just, help in many ways to help raise money and awareness to what they're doing. So
important after school, direction. And Eric, kind of take us a little further if you can, just like growing up and just kind of your family background with, you talk about your mother and foster kids and wanting to help out and be a positive influence. You've obviously paid that forward with your career and then even post-career.
Yeah. And so like in high school, well, not before high school, my mom had gotten legal custody of one of my very best friends. Mm-hmm. And after he came to stay, two others came about maybe a year after that. So she was raising her three kids as a single parent, along with three others. And I don't know how she did it, Chris, but she managed to get us all educated and out of the house. And so by the time we all graduated, you know, she was kind of used to taking care of all that madness.
Mm-hmm.
So she started bringing in foster kids. And throughout the years, you know, these kids would, you know, contact me, write letters, call, and to see the things that I was doing at the time at Nebraska winning national championships. So they were definitely inspired to want more out of life. So she just got way deep into it to where it just became everything to her. Mm. And for me to see the reactions that these kids gave my mom, the smile that they put on her face to see how her caring, how her help, you know, guidance was pushing them to become individuals that we never imagined. Because a lot of these kids come from the streets. A lot of these kids come from group homes. So it was one to where you see a lot of the growth within the kids, but then you see that there's some that are, you know, no matter how much help you give them, they just continue to go off that deep end. Mm-hmm. And you, even though, you know, you see those that aren't wanting the help, that doesn't mean you give up on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing that she's always done. And throughout the year, she continues to keep in touch with all those kids. So when I got to Kansas City, you know, that's one thing that the Chiefs and a lot of other people want you to do is to try to start a foundation to help give back to the community. And so Tony Gonzalez was one that kind of got me started with the 100 kids because that was a thing that he did. And so I just continued doing it. And especially when I got to Lincoln, it became such a hit with the Lighthouse, and the kids loved it because I would bring out student athletes from the University of Nebraska. So we have all the kids from the university in every sport come out, and they would escort these kids through Walmart as they did their shopping. Mm-hmm. So these kids would get to see these student athletes that came from basically the same places that they came from. And now they're on full scholarships trying to, you know, become better individuals themselves. So it's a story within a story to where the kids shop with, you know, those kids that are going shopping, and they get to hear stories from those kids, and those kids also get to hear stories from those student athletes.
Well, and it's kind of planting that movement for success. And Eric, that's awesome, man, what you've been doing with the Lighthouse for so many years. Thanks for what you're doing, and those kids, I'm sure, are super thankful. And vice versa. I mean, you're thankful to be able to be around kids like that, influence, and help them thrive and strive. Where can folks find out more if they want to donate to the Lighthouse, donate to your foundation? Where's a website, or is it Twitter? Is it Facebook? I mean, where can folks get more info on the event? Obviously, the charity basketball game, but also if they want to do something around the holidays.
So the Lighthouse is located there in Lincoln, Nebraska. I think it's 27th and N Street.
Yep.
I don't know the exact address of it, but I want to say 2701 N Street. The website is the Lighthouse, Lincoln, Nebraska. They're on every outlet of social media as far as Twitter, Facebook, and
Instagram.
Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
At the Lighthouse, Lincoln, Nebraska. My foundation is, I don't have an actual foundation itself because I work so much with the Lighthouse.
Sure, gotcha.
And so everything is, I don't have anybody give me any cash. They'll write any checks to me. Everything goes directly towards the Lighthouse.
Well, that's
a headache I do not want to deal with.
That's no worries, man.
So yeah, everything's towards the Lighthouse, and you can Google it. You can get on any social media outlet to find them. And usually during the holidays, when we do our event, I post. Now, because of COVID in the last couple of years, I haven't done anything with the Lighthouse, so we're getting back on track this year with the golf event to help raise money and get things rolling again.
Well, that's awesome. Eric Warfield's with us, standout Husker, Chief, Patriot, and his work with the Lighthouse, Hail Varsity Radio. When we talk about inspiration, Eric, you had a really cool moment yesterday that was released on social media. And that was Coach Osborne, your head coach, and T.O. Got in front of the team. This was released by Coach Frost and the Nebraska social media. Words of motivation. Coach Osborne, just he always has had a knack for A, being right with what's going to happen, like predicting the future, right? But also being able to motivate. And it was really cool with just, you know, are you putting the work in? Are you able to take that talent you have and excel? I don't know if you saw the video or not, but what was it like for you? And do you remember moments with Coach Osborne when he was able to motivate you and or your team?
So, you know, Coach Osborne came to my high school, obviously, during recruiting time. And, Chris, I didn't know he was coming that weekend. And he stepped in through the door of basketball season. Now, he came during football season and watched me play a game. And I had gotten wind that he had showed that he was coming for that weekend. But when he came to the basketball game, I didn't know he was coming. And so when he walked in, some of the elders, knew who he was, and the whole place just lit up. And I didn't know it. I thought it was because I was playing pretty good basketball.
I thought it was you?
I was getting the crowd riled up.
That's awesome.
It was Coach Osborne that had stepped in the door. And so obviously he had made an impact on the game of football already by this point, and everybody knew who he was. And the thing that he brought to the game as far as, like, motivation, a guidance for a lot of us that didn't have two parents at home. Like I said, I was raised by a single parent, my mom. So just having someone like him to take the time out to get to know me as an individual outside of football meant a lot to me, because I didn't have a dad growing up. I had uncles and, you know, male figures around that could give me little advice here and there. But nothing like Coach Osborne. And so I wish that the kids nowadays knew exactly who he was. I wish he was, you know, able to be there weekly to talk to these kids so that they can see, you know, what he brings to the game of football and to their lives, you know, as a coach and as a father figure for some of those that don't have it. So it was more so... to where with Coach Osborne, it was like being around your grandparents. So your grandparents are the one person, the group of people that you do not want to disappoint at any cost. You know, you can go out and get reprimanded by your mom, and you think it's okay, you know, she's just being silly, or your dad, and say the same thing. But you never want to disappoint your grandparents. And they always try to give you that best advice. And that's kind of what Coach Osborne, what he kind of symbolized, because we knew what greatness he brought to the team as a coach, because you saw it within every coach that was on the team. You saw it within the practice. You saw it within how he ran the organization. The guy never he never yelled at anyone. He always had a specific point that he wanted to get across, and he got that across to you without yelling at you. He coached in a special way to where he inspired you. He brought the best out of you, even though you may not have been the best athlete on the team or in high school. He brought the best out of you when you got to that program. And I just, you know, for how people compare the best college football teams to ever play, and they say that 2001 Miami team has so many greats that played in the NFL and had tremendous careers, of which they did. I still don't see the comparison of them to us, to what we had. And we didn't have those high-caliber, big-name guys like they did. But that's what Coach Osborne brought out of these little young high school knuckleheads that he gathered from all across the USA. And we, you know, produced championships after championships, because that's what we had that was running the ship of our team. And so, he was able to do that, and I, like I said, I just wish the kids nowadays, because they weren't even born at the times we were winning. They weren't born in the time when Coach Osborne was doing this coaching. So I just wish that they had an opportunity to really hear and to really see what this man in action, You know, and it's great to that he can go in to the meeting and speak to them and give them a piece of his mind and to show what he's done and who he is. But I just wish that they could see the full realm of who he is.
Eric Warfield's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. We're kind of recapping Coach Osborne, the video that came out on Twitter, words of motivation, you know, and several points touched on with that four-minute video. And when it came to paying the price, I know you and your teammates did extra. Eric, you guys won. You had NFL talent. But when it comes down to it, why do you think you guys won so much? Is it because you had that talent, or you had the attitude slash mindset, or because you had the coaching? I think there's all of the above, probably.
I agree 100%. It's all of the above. And it's just, you know, it's what the coaches and Coach Osborne brought to the players. And so, yeah, it was a toughness and an attitude. You know, our practices, and for us being as good as we were back then, majority of the season, the best competition that we got was at practice, having to go up against each other. And I'm not trying to, you know, knock any other football team that we beat during those years, mm-hmm. or that we played during those years, to say that they weren't that good. But the best talent, or the hardest work that we got, was in practice against each other for some of those games. And yeah, we had some great matchups with some teams, you know, and like I said, to take nothing away from them, but the attitude that we had at practice, that we wanted to be the best, and that we had to prove that we were the best year after year, because we thought, heck, every year we knew we had the best coach, we knew we had the best staff, and we thought we had the best team. So after that, it was just going out and proving it. But that's what the University of Nebraska provided us. They provided everything that we needed to be the best, nutrition-wise, in the weight room-wise, classroom-wise. It was just up to us as kids to go out and perform then.
Eric Warfield's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, touching on his time at Nebraska. Eric, want to look at some NFL thoughts in just a second, but you're a college football fan. You watch, you make it back to Lincoln for a few games. What's your take here on expansion here of the playoff, going from 4 to 12? Do you like it? Do you think 8 is the better number? Do you like 4? And if and when they expand, and it sounds like 2023, does that mean, listen, Nebraska's got a shot? I know Nebraska's got a ways to go, but they could make a jump here if things get on track to be knocking on that playoff door coming out of the Big Ten. What's your takeaway here with what tweaks are going on here postseason?
So the thing that I've learned about sports, and not just to, you know, use this the name of this movie to pertain to NFL, but Any Given Sunday, which means any team has a chance to win on any given day.
Sure.
And I think that by expanding it, it gives every other team an opportunity. You know, just because you're voted at this high-ranking number at the end of the year with the top four teams, and having that four-team playoff go in, it's just like the NCAA. You know, you have some, what do they call those, Cinderella teams to come out of nowhere. And I love that idea of expansion. So much happens with football. You know, we complain because we think that it is not the same as what we knew growing up. You know, they're calling, you know, for targeting certain hits, certain plays. We think it's an offensive game nowadays because it's so catered to the offense. But whatever they change with it, we still love the game of football, no matter how they tweak it, what they want to call it. You know, if they throw apples and oranges out there for us to toss it around, we're still going to love that game. Mm-hmm. So adding and expanding teams and playoffs, I'm for it. You know, heck, if I can make football year-round, I'd love to watch it year-round, but I understand what that does mm-hmm. to the body and the mind of individuals. So I'm all for it, Chris, mm-hmm. and you know, if you want to add the extra playoff teams, I, like I said, let's do it, and give these other teams a chance to prove that they're willing to. I think that it would help a team like the UCF that, you know, that, mm-hmm. that were left out and that, you know, they went undefeated that year and thought that, you know, they could have beaten, I think it was Alabama that had a loss that year
mm-hmm.
and ended up winning it all. So it gives those teams a chance. Now, granted, but we don't know based on university size, player wise and whatever else that if those teams are able to keep up, but you give them a chance and let them prove themselves. With the expansion, it does.
Let's talk Tyreek Johnson, five-star transfer from Ohio State, going to be in that Nebraska secondary. Eric, you know who wanted him. You know that Ohio State was pretty loaded in the secondary, and you know that Coach Fisher's got a really nice defensive backfield where he cross-trains his guys, safety and corner. You know, what's this do for the Big Red in the secondary? Already a good secondary, we felt like, going into 2021.
I like it. He has great size, you know, highly looked out and you know, played with an Ohio team that was really, really good. And, yeah, they have produced some really, really good secondary guys. So, you know, hopefully it can beef up our secondary and beef up our defense where, you know, we're more competitive on that defensive side. So I like him. It's just a matter of what he can do once he gets there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it all looks good on paper so far. But when it comes down to it, is what can you do on Saturdays for us as a team. So, but right as of now, I love the pick, you know, the transfer. And, you know, hopefully we got, when it comes to secondary, I love the guys when they're big, tall, 6 foot mm-hmm. plus, great. But overall, my thing is the front seven. If the front seven can't produce any pressure, you know, you as a DB aren't going to be what you're sought out to be.
That's very fair. That's you know, priority number one or 1A is to get after the quarterback and a lot of guys back for that Nebraska Blackshirt defense. Eric Warfield's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Eric, last thought here. We were talking about this a while back, but I want to get into your NFL career. Was it Randy Moss and then like everybody else when it came to just the greats you had to defend? Who are some of the guys you defended that you enjoyed defending or maybe didn't enjoy defending, but, man, that was a cool experience to at least get to do it? We talked about, and this was a few weeks back, where you had an NFL pundit say maybe the best deep threat ever, the Cheetah, Tyreek Hill. Well, the world said, no, it's Randy Moss. And
yeah.
I know you went against Randy quite a few times when he was in Oakland.
Yeah. So I actually more than a few times. Our training camp was in River Falls, Wisconsin, and
okay.
So we were 30 minutes from where the Vikings had practiced
okay.
at, and so we practiced against them every year at training camp. So I got to see Randy a lot. The good thing about my career was that I played against a lot of those big name guys, a lot of Hall of Famers, and I played well. Now, my thing, Chris, was that I get up against some guys that weren't the biggest names, weren't the standout all Pro Bowl players.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, you know, I play really well during the game, and all of a sudden they catch me sleeping because I never think it's going to come my way. And I get caught with, you know, either some deep pass or touchdown. So, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, when I went up against a lot of the big name guys, you know, the Terrell Owens, Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, and Chad Ochocinco. You know, now granted, the battles were a little intense and more when we went up against Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. But I never really guarded Reggie Wayne. I was mostly on Marvin Harrison, and so yeah, I had some troubles with the little small guys. But other than that, I enjoyed my battles with Ochocinco and Terrell Owens and Randy Moss, Torrey Holt. Those guys they're all Pro Bowlers, and my challenges up against them, I balled out. You know, I don't think I gave up any touchdowns to either one of those guys.
What was who was the biggest talker, and who did you have probably the best relationship with, like mutual respect?
Mutual respect came with Rod Smith, you know, but he's from my hometown, same high school.
Gotcha.
So it was a joy to go out there and play up against him, because it was competitive every play, but it was a friendly competition, to where it's like, you know, Rod is good. I think Rod has Hall of Fame numbers, probably should be there one day. You know, I know he's in the Broncos Hall of Fame and Ring of Honor, but yeah, he definitely has Hall of Fame numbers to get him in. He's one of those unsung heroes.
Eric Warfield's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Eric, congrats on what you're doing with the Lighthouse. Thanks for talking some TOs, some Huskers, and of course some NFL, and we'll get caught up again soon, and always love your insight, man.
Appreciate it, man.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, Roll Tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back into it, it's Hour 2, Weekend Edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Elijah Herbel. Welcome in, managing editor with HailVarsity.com and magazine. You follow him on Twitter at Brandon L. Vogel, and get his book with John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. We say hi to Brandon Vogel. Vogues, how's your Saturday? How's the little man? What's going on?
Saturday's good. Little man is asleep for now, so no complaints on that front. And other than that, that's about all that's going on. It's supposed to be pretty nice here today. College World Series starts. I'll be watching from afar.
It is rolling in this morning, just perfect sunshine, 70, and then it's going to get steamy. Elijah will be on site for opening game action at the CWS tonight, or for today, for NC State and Stanford. So it is Father's Day weekend, and Vogues, do you expect to get hosed when it comes to, you know, the first Father's Day gift? Just do it due to the fact Junior can't jump online yet, nor do you something.
Yeah, I've kind of prepared myself for that, so we'll see. I'll give him a year to get his crap together. Better come strong next year. That's when it's like year one in a coaching hire. You know, you get a little bit of a free roll in year one, but by year two, there better be progress.
I love it.
He might need 25 years to get his crap together, at least.
People do say expectations are a little unfair around here. So,
that's where I want to go, and I want to kind of hone in on the Big Red Blitz. One, what's your reaction? What's your take? Maybe I'm just an idiot, but I just always expect massive crowds at Husker events, okay? And that wasn't the case at a lot of different stops. And I know it was noon. I know it was 1,000 degrees. And I know it was middle of the week. So I get the math of folks trying to get off of work. But I also understand the climate. And I think that climate can be reversed real quickly with a good football season. And they have a chance to do that. But, man, Vogues, your takeaway with some of the numbers. You have a banquet hall that's going to seat 500, and you got around 100, maybe, in a spot like Kearney.
Yeah, definitely not the turnout I think anyone wanted to see. I'm not fully – it's not a five-alarm fire yet by any means. In fact, it's not even close to that. But it does give you a little bit of pause just because, like you said, we're so used to, like, you host event, tons of people show up. And, you know, and Frost mentioned it. I don't remember if it was – I think it was in Kearney, you know, talking about, like, oh, it tells me I need to win, which was funny. You're not used to hearing a coach say that even in jest, but everyone knows that those are the stakes, right, right now. So you've had, you know, three seasons of Nebraska football where they haven't quite gotten off to the start anyone hoped. And then just people win their homes for the better part of a year. And it's not that anybody learned, oh, you know what, I really don't care as much as I thought I did. It's just that things are still strange. People are still figuring it out in a lot of facets. So I think that's part of it, too. I do think a fast or strong start to the 2021 season would really help. Like, you're gonna have a sellout and a capacity crowd for that Fordham game, because it's going to be the first chance people have to get back to a normal Husker game day. What happens before that game and then the weeks after, I think, will tell a lot about, the sentiment, the kind of here or there sentiment we saw via crowd size, does that linger, or is it gone and just caught up in the excitement of a new season?
Yeah, Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You think back to some of the cratering seasons, like 07, 2017, and you didn't entirely see them coming, right? You were bringing enough people back and all that. Are we missing signs right now? Like, just, I'm being negative here for a second, but just go with me.
Don't be negative.
But listen, I mean, really, like, right? Like, the offense that obviously, just completely wandering and stubbing their own toe and hurting themselves last year. Ridiculous amount of transfers and player attrition with some key names at key positions. The win-loss record, obviously, just not being able to break through. Right? Like, are the signs all there? Now you have waning fan interest, at stops all along the state. I don't know. Are we just like... Or are we missing the fact that all this stuff is actually happening and the season is not setting up very well? Or is it, no, everything's getting fixed and we'll start to see it this year?
Yeah, well, I'm not in a spot to say everything is getting fixed yet. And I think the natural tendency with an off season is to kind of overlook some of those things or choose the most favorable outcome or the outcome you want to see, which is, okay, let's use Wando Robinson as an example. It'd be like, he's a good player, played hard all the time he was out there and did a lot of things for Nebraska, but they've got player X and player Y, and I'm excited to see player Z, and it'll be okay. A loss of that magnitude just tends to get minimized most years, I think. But I think you're right. Just because nobody knows what to do with 2020. And that's for any team in the country. Like, whether it was good, whether it was bad for your team, do you kind of put an asterisk by it? Because some of the things you're talking about, Mark, I think, like, if you just look at Nebraska's returning production on offense and some of the guys that they mentioned, as you said, they're kind of key losses in a couple instances. It would be a profile where you'd say, well, the offense would probably get to take a slight step back or be pretty close to the same. Now, I kind of look at this, and it's a little bit of perception, too. I think Nebraska's win total is right around 6 most places, and that feels about right. And I think they could be at 6, even with an offense that didn't, take a massive, massive jump in terms of its overall numbers, because 6 is... kind of closer to where they've been. They've been about a game behind in most of these seasons and what you'd expect a team to win based on how much they scored and some of the other things they did. So that might be it too. It might be you're not taking a huge jump, but you're just kind of getting back to even from what you'd actually earned in some previous seasons.
Brandon Vogel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Vogues, let's walk down this hypothetical path for two more seconds. Say they get to 6, they get to a bowl game, wonderful, right? And say they look better doing it, but they're just maybe still a year away. And I know folks are sick of the Chicago Cubs, wait till next year. I get it. But if they look better, if they look like they've been coached, because I think the coaches have been trying to coach the kids, and I think the kids are trying to do the best, but it hasn't been on the same page with penalties and turnovers and false starts and all that stuff. say they go down swinging in similar fashion, one score possessions, those always rip your heart out. But say it's a clean game. Does that lighten the mood a little bit? You're still ticked off, and it sucks if you're a Nebraska fan. If Nebraska's 6-6 and you still fall to a Purdue or a Minnesota or a Northwestern, or you're in your own way against Illinois, right? But say there's a little bit of 2018 flavor to 2021, where they are getting better, and it's still a year away with this schedule.
I think that would ultimately be okay, and it's kind of the base expectation for me for this year is you probably need to, and I don't go into many seasons feeling this way, but mm-hmm. when you haven't been to a bowl game since 2016, like getting to six is pretty important. So getting some sort of postseason play, you need that. But even if it's 6-6, until you go to a bowl game and win at 7-6, that might change things a little bit. But at that point, you've kind of said, okay, well, here's progress. We had a 500 record at least, maybe a winning record. And that would be okay. But I still think once we got into, you know, January, February, March of 2022, there would be a lot of unease still, because you're probably going to be starting a new quarterback. I mean, Adrian can come back if he wants to. But you know, I don't know if I would, I personally don't think that's the most likely outcome for 2022. Now a lot of things can change before then. It's just a lot of time on campus. So, you'd have that, you'd be losing quite a bit on the defensive side of things. So, it's interesting when you kind of look at this in a 2 year chunk. Yes, I think you know progress this year would be enough to put some people at ease for a little bit. But once you get into the off season and start digging into, okay, what's 2022 look like? Nebraska could have some pretty heavy losses. I mean, I think in terms of returning production, almost mm-hmm. certainly they'll be worse off than they are going into this year.
Hmm. Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Okay, now let's go back. Let's spin back to the positive. All this said, you know, the problems are pretty clear at this point. People are kind of fed up. People just want to see W's. But there are some macro things going on that I think for the longest time, Nebraska did not have sort of external factors in their favor, whether that be the distribution of scholarships being reduced, the expansion of more people being on television, the loss of Prop 48,
there's no border around your state.
Right. Recruiting visit rules and all that stuff. I just think they had a lot of stuff that did not necessarily benefit Nebraska. Well, now you got the playoff expansion. Could be happening as soon as 2023, right? That's good. That benefits pretty much everybody that's not Clemson, Bama, Georgia, Oklahoma. And then two, you have Nebraska's facility that's going to be opening up in and around that time, which should vault them to kind of the top of the facilities race for a time being. And you could capitalize recruiting wise there. Then you have name, image, likeness. And Nebraska is the clear pioneer there with a clear connection to Open Doors, which has been out in front of this whole thing the whole time. So you have you have these macro things going in your favor now. Will Frost and crew be the ones to realize the benefits of that, right? Like, will they be the ones? And it kind of depends on what they do this year and next year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Ask me in December, I'll have a much better idea. But I think so. I do think Nebraska is going to, you know, do enough in 2021 where we get to the end of the year and we're kind of in that, okay, that was better. I can feel better about going forward. And then, you know, you'll wake up and have coffee and say, oh wow, but they're losing 45% of their tackles from the previous year. Or at least I will do that. But so yeah, I do think this staff is going to get enough figured out to be able to reap the benefits of that. I know, you know, internally in the athletic department, that they have a lot at stake to being on the forefront of NIL, and for good reason. I mean, it's even been put in terms of some of the things you mentioned, you know, more TV games for all teams across the country, reduction in scholarships, those things that have traditionally kind of set, when we try to go back and recreate, you know, why isn't Nebraska football what it once was, those things come up a lot. Name, image, likeness occasionally gets pitched as, well, maybe this can be one that does benefit Nebraska because they're able to jump right in here in a couple of weeks. It was interesting to see, you know, a lot of Nebraska players kind of start putting out, well, they put a lot of players across the country put out the same message, basically saying like, open for business. I'm here. DM me if you want to talk through a potential partnership. Like, it's going to be the Wild West for a little bit. And it's one of those things where I do think being one of the first in is an advantage, but I, you know, sort of similar to the talk we were having about the quote unquote negative parts of Nebraska football. You do have to give pause and be like, or is Florida and Nebraska and the four other states that are going to be able to do this right away, are they the ones that are going to have to climb the steep part of the learning curve? And all these other states are going to get in pretty quickly and benefit from all this kind of experience and what those schools learn through this period, because it's going to be strange. I don't think anyone involved fully knows how this is going to work, even what's kind of above board and what's not.
Brandon, do you think that with Open Doors being founded by Adi Kunalik and Blake Lawrence, both Nebraska graduates, and the fact that it's headquartered here in Lincoln, do you think that even gives Nebraska an extra advantage over other schools who are also utilizing Open Doors and name, image, and likeness and all that? But just because of the Nebraska connection, do you think Nebraska is going to get almost preferential treatment from Open Doors, or do you think it's still going to be pretty even for everyone in the country from like the treatment from Open Doors?
I think it'll be pretty even. I think you saw that benefit in Nebraska being one of the first schools, you know, who knows when various things were officially signed, but the first big rollout for a school to partner with a company like Open Doors was Nebraska. And I think you saw it there, you know, from an Open Doors perspective or any company's perspective, you're diminishing your ability to make money if you sign up Ohio State and then 2 years later they're like, yeah, it was good, but it sure seemed like anytime something new got rolled out, it went to Nebraska first. So I think it'll be pretty equal across the board on that front.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine Managing Editor. Vogues, give us a prediction here with the College World Series. You know Vandy, you know Tennessee. We are sad that our dear friend Mike Eckler, Coach Eckler of Tennessee, will not be in Omaha. They've got camps going on. That sucks. We were going to have a cocktail with him. But you got other kind of favorites, champions in the field. Are you able to circle one team that will dogpile in Omaha?
Yeah, if I had to pick one, I'm leaning Vanderbilt. You know, I catch them on TV occasionally, and they're just steady. And they've got their crazy reverse pinstripe uniforms. Man, they love pinstripes. So yeah, I'll go with Vandy. I've honestly spent more time looking at this College World Series field and trying to decide which one is going to have the best football season in 2021. it's an interesting group. There's no like home run there, and I want to pick Mississippi State, but I'm afraid, based on what I know about football at least, that it might be Texas.
Well, I know this. It's time for Stanford to start winning ball games again.
It's not going to be Arizona football. I feel confident about that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't disagree there. Arizona football, man, the old desert swarm is decades ago, you know. Well, Vogue, you have a good weekend. Give the little man a fist pound and have a good Father's Day, bud.
You too, guys. Happy Father's Day.
All right, there he is.
Thanks.
Brandon Vogel.
Thanks,
with us on Hail Varsity. Good to hear from him. And that's a good take. What CWS team is going to have the best football season?
Let's see. We got NC State. We got Vandy. We got
Tennessee.
Stanford, Texas, Tennessee, Arizona, Mississippi State. And then what is it? Is it
Baptist? Did they get in? Were they the eighth that got in?
Virginia.
They didn't get in.
Virginia.
Thank you.
With Bronco Mendenhall as their coach, the old BYU coach when the Hail Mary happened.
So it ain't going to be Virginia. It ain't going to be.
I think Virginia's at 6-6. I think Tennessee's.
Tennessee, man, they've stockpiled enough talent that it feels like they can break through at some point.
Then it leaves. Then their linebacking core transfers to Alabama.
Vandy, you can't take seriously in football.
No, they got a new coach. David Shaw, Stanford, right? I mean, you really just got to take down Oregon and Washington in the Pac-12, don't you?
I mean, they have a potential top 10 pick at quarterback, don't they?
Well, they're supposed to every year. You know, you want to talk about the Andrew Luck effect a decade later.
Do we think Sarkisian's going to be like a net plus for Texas?
I think Sark will have the ability to put a lot of points up, which you need in the Big 12. We'll just see where the cupboard's at, because I don't think Herman was a fool when it came to recruiting. Texas just hasn't had Vince Young or Howdy Doody at quarterback for a while. I mean, they just have it. If you're smart at Texas, you get a hell of a running back and an offensive line and a killer defense.
I don't know a ton about NC State, but why do I low-key think it would be NC State that's slated to have
solid year? Of your obsession still with Tim Beck.
I love him.
I know. Good hair, sunglasses.
I'd take that poster off.
I'd like
to
make an amendment.
It's time.
Stanford does not have a quarterback who's going to be a top five pick this year. I was thinking of Slovis from USC.
Right. Yeah. Same state.
Same state. Same team colors, kind of like
just different.
You think I follow the Pac-12?
Their reds are a little different there. I mean,
one's cardinal and one is
and there's
red.
No yellow.
One's a little more burgundy, a little brighter. Yeah. Color theory.
Pac-12 is just irrelevant at this point. I don't follow it.
They got a new lease on life with this playoff expansion.
That's true.
We'll check in with the Iron Horse. Gary Sharp's on the way. It's Hail Varsity Weekend presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out. Excellent strategy, sir.
Maybe a little early for martinis, but a red beer, Bloody Mary, tailgates, maybe starting to proceed with the grill getting turned on. Tailgating College World Series, we welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, Hail Varsity Radio Weekend. Sharpie, I'm sure you got the eye black on, ready for baseball, bud. How are you?
Good. It's, so it's a big day for Omaha. The College World Series is back. The weather is not 105. It's an interesting field. It should be a lot of fun, but most importantly, when the first pitch goes at a little after 1 today, it'll be 70 days, I believe. At least 700 plus days since we last had a College World Series.
That's a while, man. Will it be another 700 plus days before Scott Frost gets sniped out in the media?
Wow. You know, when you're 12-20, everything you say, whether you say the sky is actually blue or not, is going to be picked apart. You know, I didn't have a problem with what he said the other day. There's some times where Scott is, he holds grudges, and he'll tell you something without telling you something. And I think that was the case. But for the most part, what he said about the transfer portal and what it's doing to his sport was spot on. He's just 12-20. If he's 20-12 and says the same thing, I don't think people get upset. And I'm wondering if the McCaffrey brothers were more upset at a tweet or the actual context of what was said. Now, we've come to get that kind of drill with it. Sometimes it's self-inflicted, and then sometimes it's produced. But I was more interested in the shift on the national people. You know, when Scott got the job coming off Central Florida, we saw the national people roll through Lincoln and write all kinds of stories. And, you know, with the national media, it appears that Scott has had a really good relationship. But that's kind of changed, I think, since his comments last August when he wanted Nebraska to play football and the Big Ten to play football. And all of a sudden these national people have kind of turned against Scott. But again, when you're 12 and 20, everything you say is going to be picked apart until you start to win.
And Gary, we were talking about that with Brandon. Do we have our head in the sand? Are we heading into an 07 or a 2017 season where maybe people just didn't want to believe the signs, and then you had a cratering type of season? We're not heading into that, are we?
Well, I don't think so, but we don't know. There's a lot that we think we know about this team, guys, but we don't know. I mean, they're kind of a mystery team that is going to take more than one or two guys. They will be 6-6 or 7-5 if there's an abundance of those guys that are in that category. And normally we don't have that. There is no doubt that Nebraska football in a while is going to play the most important game they've played when they open up at about 9 Saturdays, or they're coming up on the most important season. I've said from the jump, when they walk off the field against Iowa on Black Friday, there's no gray. It's either black or white. This program's moving forward, or this program is in trouble, and you've got to look and see how to fix it. But I don't know. It's a weird feeling. I feel 6-6 is very much attainable, and a bounce of the ball here or there, I would go up to 7, then down to 5.
Gary, just would you consider this a make-or-break season for Scott Frost and his future at Nebraska?
Nope. And I say that because of who he is and the athletic director and Scott. This is what would happen if things don't go well. Now, if they make a bowl game and you feel momentum, you can look at the youth in the program. I think if they make a bowl game, you can sell people like, okay, now we've kind of turned the corner. We're making progress. You have to ask yourself a question. If this flips, do you feel like it'll flip and it'll stay there? That's the question. You can't have, okay, whew, we made a bowl game, and then you take a step back and you go 4-8 or 5-7. I think if you have a poor season where you're not in a bowl game, which stretches that string where Nebraska hasn't been to a bowl game since 16, the head coach isn't going anywhere, but he would have to he gets that one get-out-of-jail-free card where you make changes on your staff.
Brandon Vogel was with us earlier. Gary Sharp with us now.
Yeah. Right. That's safe. Brandon Vogel.
Nice job, Mariano.
Is a good man.
Yes. And so, to your point, when we go down this road, someone slap me. Apologies, but Sharpie, you're right on with the flipping part. Is it? You know, we've heard coaches say when it turns, it's going to turn, and it'll happen, it'll pop, and then, you know, it's downhill in a good way, right? But you can have one, but can you stack successful seasons? Obviously, that's the hope. And I want to kind of focus on what Nebraska's been doing from a recruiting standpoint. Your read and takeaway on how camps have been going, specifically, you know, with what you saw with Raiola's son last night at Friday Night Lights. Nebraska's been, I don't want to say overly selective, but they've been pretty different with the fit they're looking for, at least when we look at stars versus maybe some lower profile guys. They've been on some kids pretty early here the last couple of sessions, it sounds like.
Well, this is why I'm kind of optimistic about this flipping and there's momentum moving forward. Because I think, first and foremost, I think there are guys on that staff, including the head coach, that have been humbled by the first 3 years and humbled by the Big Ten that Nebraska is a ways away from teams in their own division on how to build a roster, how to churn the roster, and how to move the roster forward. And you kind of seen that in the way they've recruited the last year and a half with the kind of body types at different position groups. I think what also they did is they went and said, okay, moving forward, Nebraska is still a national brand, but where we're at today, we can reach for the stars, but let's find guys that are more on the fit side than these fancy stars. And I think you've seen that. They've identified guys pretty quick in this recruiting class, and they've got on them, and they've made them a priority. And you know, it's not like a class right now that makes you go, whoa. But I think for Nebraska's needs, it's probably in the position groups and not knowing what the numbers are going to be for this upcoming class. I think it fits a need. And that's kind of where Nebraska might be right now is, hey, we don't need to be all sexy. We just need to be something with a fit and then move the program forward. Because, you know, if you look at guys that are already in the class, how many of those guys would you say, boom, they're automatically in my Super Six. There's no more discussion. I don't care who else is joining the class. They're in the Super Six. But for Nebraska's needs, it probably is a good start to this class. And it's been a good month in the amount of players and the kind of players they've had on campus. Now they just have to close the deal.
Brandon Vogel is a good human being, and he was with us earlier. And
you are always jumping on the grenade for me.
Gary Sharp is also a good human being and is now with us. Just kidding.
Still with us.
I'm just kidding. Now, we talked about this last segment, too. I just want to get your take. At the same time all this is happening, there's a lot of macro stuff going on that is – it feels like the pendulum is swinging back, and Nebraska is going to have some tailwinds, actually, right? You're going to have name, image, likeness coming alive. Nebraska's among probably 10 schools in America that could really capitalize on that. You got the new facility coming. 2023 probably is when the playoffs expand. All of a sudden, it just seems like Nebraska's got, like, some really good stuff that they can't really control, but just kind of the way the environment's happening around them. That's a lot of stuff Nebraska could capitalize on to get better recruits, to, you know, attract a different caliber of player, et cetera. Do you see Nebraska actually taking advantage of that? And is this the staff that can do it?
It is the staff that can do it. And I think you can't even ask the question, is it the staff? You have to be the staff moving forward. You have to be a coach in college athletics that embraces name, image, likeness, even though privately you're like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? Because that's where we're going. Look at players' tweets yesterday soliciting opportunities. Hey, slide into my DMs. Now, Nebraska, like some other really, really smart athletic departments, have partnered with Open Doors, you know, a local company that is going to be that third party that helps the student athletes in terms of their opportunities. But we're 2 weeks away, and there's so much confusion because of what the NCAA is doing, and kind of the laws are different from state to state. You know, we don't know what's going to happen, but certainly for Nebraska, in this state, and not a super large city, Lincoln is not, you know, a million-plus market. It's going to be very beneficial in Nebraska, and we've seen it. I mean, guys, they were asking people on the Big Red Blitz on Wednesday to start following student-athletes. They're promoting it in their social media. They're telling kids when they're on campus and recruiting, hey, we're going to give you a little tutorial on name, image, likeness, and we believe that being a football player at the University of Nebraska or a student athlete at the University of Nebraska, this is what you can do. So it's here. You can embrace it. And I think Nebraska can use that to their advantage, because the one thing that Nebraska right now, and when you're struggling on the football field, you're looking for advantages. The one thing Nebraska still has above a lot of programs, a lot of like programs, is the fans. They are unique. They can sell the fans and the fans' passion for the players. Just listen to kids that don't really know much about Nebraska that are committing. They'll talk about the fans, and that's something Nebraska is using, and they will continue to use to help their student-athletes make as much money as possible in name, image, likeness.
Sharpie, what's your takeaway? Let's stay on the recruiting front here. Ashton Hayes, kid out of Reno. Nebraska able to get his yes, and I think he looks like a pretty talented back. What'd you see from film, and what's your thoughts on Nebraska landing him? Obviously, Torres kicked off the week.
Well, he's someone that I don't think you look at and you go, oh, man, he's going to beat out X, Y, and Z on your current roster. But he's got plenty of speed. And I think the most telling thing when they were recruiting him and what Ashton said afterwards is, they identified a role, what he was going to be. They showed him film of Wandale Robinson, Mo Washington, this is what we want you to be. And I think that's important because Nebraska needs to build that up in the recruiting profile. Is they've got comps for players, but those comps are on their current roster. You know, they have to move past, hey, here's a comp from Oregon or a comp from UCF. This is actually a comp on the Nebraska roster. This is what we see your role is. This is the kind of player we see you. And so I think that's kind of the role for him where, you know, he can get in space. He has speed. I like that he can catch the football out of the backfield. Not only run the football, but I like that he can catch the ball out of the backfield and be really multiple. I wonder if that's the last running back that Nebraska takes. What if Justin Williams says, hey, I'm still interested? You know, Nebraska's not in a place right now to turn down talent, but that's a good pickup. I think he's going to – I mean, he's a wonderful kid. He's got a, you know, brilliant family, and he's very, very smart. And I think he's going to grow. I think the two pickups this week are two kids that, as they play their senior year of high school football, they're going to get more attention because – people are going to be on to them because Nebraska was the first on to both of them. And I think those are two really good pickups that are kind of fit what we were talking about earlier, where Nebraska is going in the recruiting profile for this class compared to maybe some of the past classes where they reached for the stars. Now they're just reaching for the fit that is a nice blend with what they have and what they want to do.
Yeah, he's a real coach on the field type. I'm kidding. Okay, so
that's a fantastic cliche,
isn't it? A little scrappy.
Yeah. Can we throw the motor part in? I mean,
he plays with a great motor. What kind of kid you want your daughter to marry?
Not a backwards hat kind of guy.
I like the not a backwards hat kind of guy. That's good. Where were you going, Kranek?
As I sit here with my backwards hat, I don't even remember now. No, how about, let's rewind. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Tyreek Johnson, the transfer in from Ohio State. It's interesting that you have now two five-star types. I don't know that Nadab Joseph was actually a five-star, but he's in the conversation for sure. Johnson actually was a five-star. And you got both of those guys on campus now as potential starting corners opposite of Cam Taylor Britt. Do you think one of those two guys emerges as the guy? Or do you think Braxton Clark or maybe holds him back?
Tyreek Johnson is kind of the wild card. If Travis Fisher can find the right button to push, then it's a win-win for Nebraska. But what I also think it does, you know, there's some competition in that room opposite Cam Taylor Britt, and they like Braxton Clark. They like Newsom. You know, they're kind of waiting on Joseph. I think the one thing that they need from Tyreek Johnson, if you look at guys that have come in a little bit late, like in June, they've been slow to get started. Like, we thought Joseph would be further along last season. Now, it may have taken a whole year for him to click, and last year the offseason was, you know, nothing close to normal. But he's an intriguing prospect, and he adds depth. Could he play a lot more nickel than he will play cornerback? But what it does, it adds – I remember, before they added Tyreek Johnson, Travis Fisher had already said this could be the best defensive back group in college football in 21. And you look and you go, okay – there's some intriguing pieces there. You got two returning safeties. You got the best defensive player in your program, and Cam Taylor Britt at one. You like the competition of the other. I think it was encouraging, guys, really, really encouraging, something Travis Fisher said earlier this week, that Miles Farmer is good to go. Because when he suffered that injury at West Lafayette, I thought, oh, man, he is out for a while. And him being back will be huge. So I think that whole group is going to be extremely talented. And I don't think it's a group as a whole, cornerback, safety, special packages, that Nebraska's had that much, that depth of talent and those kind of players in a while. And you know what can happen? Those guys are locked down on the back end. What does that do for the guys up front who we like, that defensive line group that is moving forward? And we like the linebackers. So it's just another piece in a defense which has a lot of momentum and a lot of excitement and a lot of people thinking, oh, man, is this the defense that can bail Nebraska out and get them through the first part of the season before the offense gets their sea legs?
Real quick, Chris, Elijah, get your take on this too. Just quick follow on that.
I think in particular about the secondary, what's intriguing is not even necessarily coverage skills or experience, but across the board physicality. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. I think that's a significant difference from what Nebraska has fielded in the secondary going back years. There, you do not have a liability at corner or safety of dudes that won't hit. You know what I mean? Like, I think that is I'm just curious on if you guys see the same thing, where literally your only options that you have now are dudes that will absolutely light you up.
I agree with you. And they also not only light you up, Elijah and Smitty, they're guys that can turn and run as well, which you haven't had an abundance of those guys in the last few years. You've had a couple, but not like they have now.
Agree. And I think this defense's strength has been their back four, right? And you look at not only their ability, and you mentioned the speed and physicality, but I think their mentality, guys, is the difference. Kim Taylor-Britt and Dismuke and Williams, those three guys are guys that love football. And that's obvious, but they wear it on their sleeve, and I think that's been a positive infection for some of the younger guys. They see that talent level. They see what they put into it. They see that they came back, all three of them, and then they also learn. And quite honestly, the culture and competition where you're just bringing in dudes, you got to be on your toes every day, has helped feed into that positive mentality. And I think that's going to be one of the main reasons Nebraska can be successful. It's because of what you have in that secondary.
And they have this mentality of, I haven't seen in a while, which is come across the middle, we'll make you pay.
Mm-hmm. Mentality they like rocking bread. People. They do.
Well, sometimes to the extreme, but
no. where you get a watch the second half. No, I get you,
Gary. Real fast, we have a few minutes left here, but I got to get your quick take on Dylan Raiola getting the Nebraska offer. We still got to get your take on ASU. So maybe 30 seconds here. But what's your take? Is Nebraska at the top of the field because of what his dad did at Nebraska?
It's awful early, but he becomes a priority. Mm-hmm. You know, dad loves his alma mater. How can you go wrong with Dom, who one of my favorite players at Nebraska? His son's got the same mentality. You know, he's got some great DNA. He's got to be a priority, but his stock is going to go through the roof now after what he did last night and the attention he's going to get. But I would, you know, Nebraska's going to be in the mix, and that's a great thing because I think here's a kid that if he could develop and remember what state he played high school football in, mm-hmm. guys, he may have a five-star attached to his name by the time he gets to the summer between his junior and senior year.
Sharpie, we're early in the process, but do you think the NCAA goes basketball route with Arizona State, or do you think they are going to hammer him if all of this digital evidence is true with Herman Company down there with breaking COVID protocol?
You play to win the game.
You pay to win the game.
You wonder, how can people be so dumb? But then you realize this is college athletics and there is so much pressure and maybe not a lot of oversight at Arizona State that they're able to get away with this. Whoever they fire that is the whistleblower, man, that is a bitter individual that is going to try and take down Arizona State. There's some great details, and we get all excited. But let's be honest. Nowadays in college athletics, with all the cheating that is going on that is known or unknown, unless it is a blue blood, we're kind of like, it's Arizona State football. When you're investigating Alabama or Clemson or Georgia or Ohio State, let me know. But the details, Herm Edwards, this is not the way to go out.
It isn't. Sharpie, have a great weekend.
But one other quick thing on that.
Go ahead.
Guys, you look, as Arizona State has the NCAA, you know, getting their mail in Tempe right now, Nebraska actually could benefit. You look at, there are some prospects that Nebraska is in on, including some in-state players, that Arizona State was near the top of their list, or the recruiting guys had already put in crystal balls forecasting they were going to go to Arizona State. So watch that. Maybe that impacts, and maybe Nebraska could get a benefit or two.
Yep, that could be part of the fallout. Sharpie, enjoy your weekend. We'll get caught up soon. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
As always, guys, thank you.
All right, there he is, Gary Sharp, with us, the Iron Horse. We heard from Brandon Vogel. at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we did.
And Eric Warfield with us in the 7 a.m. hour. Kranak, we'll roll our sleeves up and get ready to do it again. Thanks for jumping in, brother.
I was impressed by your recovery on that Brandon Gary situation.
I'm all about recovery.
That was a vet move.
Elijah, take care. We'll talk Monday from the College World Series. Thanks.